Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
It is good to be able to bring the word to you today, and I believe there's a word from God for us today, and I believe greater things are yet to come for our church. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
And I must admit, though, I was struggling on what to say today, like what to preach on, what to put together for you. I mean, it is Anzac Day. I mean, how do we preach a message that fits in with that and honours them and sort of looks at us, and that was hard because they went to war, they went and fought the enemy, they went onto the battlefields, and some of them didn't come home. War was tough. We would never know the pain, the suffering, the anguish that our Anzac soldiers went through, that their families went through. Can you think of their wives and their children? Like, we wouldn't understand some of that today, and all so that we could have freedom. All so that we can have hope in life. And so today I just wanted to kind of back on that, because I believe God, as I said, has given me a message for us today. But I also know that we're in a battle too. We're in a war as well. And if we follow God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, we're in a spiritual war, a war for our souls. And the enemy's out there battling us, coming against us, raging against us. Paul put it like this: for our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the evil, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We are in a war. Whether you like it or not, we're in a war. We're in a war. And it's a war for our soul. It's a war for our soul. And so what I want to do is, because of the Anzac Day and remembering them and the fact that they went to war, I want to preach about, I'll preach a couple of weeks. I'm going to do a couple of weeks because I couldn't do it all in 1 week. Otherwise, we would have been here till 2 o'clock and Bustleton might have got a little upset. But I want to preach a message today in a series today called Winning the Battle. Winning the Battle. Because we're in a battle. We're in a war. And I don't know about you, but I want to win. I mean, I read the scriptures and I get it. Like, it says that we win, that Jesus has conquered death and the grave and all of that kind of stuff. But sometimes it doesn't feel like we're winning the battle. Does it not? Yeah, lots of nodding. So what I want to do is take us on a journey over the next week or two through a passage of scripture. And Zoe started us last week. She looked at a passage called the Floating Axe. In 2 Kings chapter 6, and it was a great message, by the way. If you haven't got it, you haven't heard it, it's on our social pages, it's on every podcasting website you can think of, it's there. But she talked about this miracle, how Elisha did this miracle. Well, I'm going to continue in the scriptures at 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to have a little bit of a look through it, because I believe that Elisha actually sets out something. If we dig a little bit deeper into the scripture, if we lean into it a little bit, we see something in there. So I want to teach today because I believe that we want victory in our lives.
Amen.
Okay, we got 3-4 people. I'm going to preach to those 4 people and then we're going to keep going. Because the enemy will come, the enemy will battle us, and we need to have and we want the victory in that. So winning the battle, that's what we're going to do. And we're going to start this week by looking at perspective. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
You want to take a journey with me? Awesome. Here we go. Let's pray and then we're going to get into it. Father God, we believe in you more than anything. We believe in you more than anything, more than our finances, more than our struggles, more than our worries, more than our illnesses, more than anything on this planet. We know you're the maker of the universe. We know you created it all. You know, we know there is nothing you cannot do and nothing is impossible for you. You said on the cross, it was finished, or it is finished. You buried our sin, you buried our shame, and you conquered death and gave us life and life to the fullest. And we want to claim that today in that victory. We want to have the same victory you're walking in. you're too good not to believe in God. And so today, we just want to come before you and we want to learn and we want to grow and we just want to be in your presence. So teach us, change our hearts, change our minds, speak to our souls, minister to us like only you can. In the name of Jesus, amen. Winning the battle, winning requires perspective. Winning requires perspective. So if you've got your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to pick it up from about verse 15, but I'm going to give you some background just before that. 2 Kings, my mouth is really dry today, so if I drink a bit of extra, please forgive me. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15, but at this point, right, we have Elisha. Now, remember, Zoe talked about Elisha last week. She talked about how he made this iron axe head float to the surface. Elisha was known as the miracle prophet. Like, he saw some stuff. He did some stuff in his time. Like, he saw Elijah go to heaven, just raptured up right there in front of him. He saw that happening. He saw God do that. He was the one that, with the widow's oil, if you remember the story, like, the oil just started pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. Like, it miraculously just came from somewhere. He's also the one that laid on the Shunammite woman's dead son and brought him back to life. Like, he laid down and then the warmth came. Like, this is Elisha, the miracle prophet. And he's seeing God do some incredible things through him. And God keeps, you know, telling Elisha, you know, in the story, if you read from verses about 7 through to about 15, that 8 to 15, where the attacks for the Israelites were going to come from. And so he would get this communication. God would call him up. Well, wouldn't, because he didn't have a telephone, but it's my story, so it's okay. So God would call him up on the telephone, and then, you know, he would go to the Israelite king and say, "Hey, king, your enemies are going to attack here. Be careful. Your enemies are going to attack here. Be careful." And so the enemy really got upset, really got angry, because there was this supernatural intervention by God. Like, Elisha was hearing from God and telling the king where the attacks were coming from. And so the enemy got wind of who and what was happening. And so the enemy went, "That's fine. We're going to go after Elisha. We'll take him out. Then we could take the king and the Israelites out." And so the Aramites, I think it is, I think I said that right. They say it with confidence if you don't know how to pronounce it. So I'm going to go with Aramites. You know, that king came against Elisha and came to find him and surrounded him. And this is what we read, verse 15. "When the servant of the man of God got up," and "went out early in the next morning, an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked." Hey, look, let's get really honest in the house today, right? We've all asked that question, haven't we? What the hell are we going to do now? You can hear it, can't you? What are we going to do? And I don't know whether you're at work or at home, in your family, with your friends, when something unexpected comes along, and you just look at the situation, you go, okay, what are we going to do? Like, what are we going to... Like, if you... We've all been there, right? We've all been there. If you haven't been there, then welcome here, Jesus. We like to have you here. It's so good that you're here. But let's face it, we've all been there. All asking, what are we going to do? We might phrase it differently. But, and we might put some expletives in there. If you're a non-Christian, "Oh, Christian, I'm working, God's working." What are we going to do? Like, I could... This guy was feeling hopelessness. He's feeling trapped. He felt like the army had surrounded him. And we've all been in that position where it feels like the darkness is coming in. It feels like the world is crouching in. It feels like we can't just even get up to face the day. We've been there. And so this is where this servant, Elisha's servant, said, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And so Elisha answers him. Verse 16, "Do not be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." It's an interesting response, one we kind of know about in our heads, one we kind of believe. Then he prays this, verse 17. And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes." Turn to someone and say, "Open your eyes." Especially if they're sleeping this morning. Open your eyes. Put it in the chat. Open your eyes, all right? Open your eyes. He prays, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. I've never read the passage the way that I've read it this time round. Because if I was Elisha, and put myself in the story, and I was Elisha, my prayer would not be, open my servant's eyes. My prayer would be, dear Lord, smoke them. Kill them all. Get rid of this. Come into this situation. Deal with it. Just get rid of it. Just do your thing over here, and that would be great. Thank you, Jesus. That would be my prayer. Come on, really? Who's with me, right? If you're in a situation that you don't know how to get through and it feels like the world is coming around, my prayer would be smoke it. Get rid of it. Get it out of here. But yet, Elisha prays for his servant's eyes to be opened, not for the situation to disappear. And I don't know. I'm reading this going, hang on, God. You could do all things. You could do everything. But what it looks like to me is that there's this big thing crouching in, this army of people. We're outnumbered. We're going to die. And he prays, open his eyes instead of smoke them, get rid of them. Like if I was his servant, I'd be sitting there going, what? You're the miracle prophet? You're the one who has, I've seen you raise this boy to life. I've seen oil just pour out. I've seen you do all these things. And you're praying for my spirit. Like, it doesn't make sense. Until you dig a little bit deeper and lean into the passage, you see. Because what he's really praying is, God, reveal to him how big you are. Reveal to him how powerful you are. Reveal to him that you can do anything. Reveal to him, reveal to us that you are who you are and nothing is important. It's a prayer to open his spiritual eyes to see something different. To change his perspective from an earthly perspective to a heavenly perspective. It's about shifting perspective. You see, the two men, Elisha and his servant, same situation. They're both in this place surrounded by the armies of the Aramites. They're surrounded. The same situation, same place, same time, same everything. Yet one saw danger and feared, and the other one was like, no, we've got more people, watch this. And so this same situation, it's about perspective. You see, the servant didn't understand that him plus God was the majority. Make sense? That him plus God is the majority. And look, let's face it, we've been in those situations where we feel like we're facing the enemy, where we feel like all is lost, where we're losing hope, where we're surrounded on all sides, the darkness is caving in, the enemy is attacking, and it's like waves on a beach. It just keeps coming and coming, and we're just tired and weary and worn out, and things are happening. And yet he's saying, open his eyes. Let him get a perspective on who you actually are. And this is the thing. If we are going to win the battle, we need to have the right perspective. We need to have a heavenly perspective to start with. Next week, I'm going to talk about stepping into your purpose. And I'm so excited for that one. I can't wait. I hope I'm not going to reveal too much of the information before then. But it starts first with the right perspective, knowing who our God is and what he can do. That's where it starts, because God is with us all the time. Great. Someone's awake. A couple of nods and one point. God is for us. God is there. There is no weapon on this earth that can be formed against us that will prosper. Yes, now we're starting to get it. God is mighty and he can do anything, and anything the world throws against us will be thrown out because we outnumber the enemy. We have stronger muscles than the enemy. We outman the enemy because we have Jesus Christ in our lives and we are driven by resurrection power. Amen? It's the enemy that should be fearful of us. It's the enemy that should be running, not us. We get to situations and we hide. Don't get me wrong, I'm in this category too. We get to a place where we go, ooh, and we start to look around and we start to retreat. But in a war, we advance, not retreat. And if we got the greater numbers with us because we got Jesus Christ, then we should be marching regardless of what happens. Amen? Amen. We should be going regardless. Our God is an awesome God. He can do anything. He is with us. Two men, two different perspectives. It starts with perspective. We need to be looking at God the right way. And so what I want to do is just take a few moments to tell you how I gain my perspective back. Sound okay to you? Because let's face it, if you're like me, and I'm a bit more flighty than the average, but you know, if you're like me, you'd be like, God, I love you so much, everything's great, you could do it. Ooh, shiny thing. Oh, look at that. Come on, Rick. We are, aren't we? Our brains just take us somewhere else. I don't know about you, I've been in the middle of prayers at home. Dear God, I thank you for today. It was so good, and I've got to put the washing on and the dishes, and I've got to do this. And what? Middle of praying. Like, come on. We just do it all the time. And so what I want to do is give you three very, very practical ways. Like, these are three very basic, simple things you can do to refocus and get that heavenly perspective. Because let me tell you this, if you don't have the right perspective, a heavenly perspective, you will never win the battle. And I'm going to make the claim today that you could win absolutely every battle in your life if you do a few things right. And it starts with perspective, having the right perspective. Next week we'll talk about the second thing you can do to win every single battle in your life. And it's a big claim, I know, but you can do it. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? All things. So I'm going to give you three simple things you can do. Number one, the first thing you can do is, on the screen, sing. 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 Now this is for me, right? I'm just telling you what I do. And I'm very practical. See, I saw this picture on Facebook the other day that said, I like my worship music at the volume where I can't hear the enemy. And it's so true. I love my worship music. I love time with God. I like it at a volume where I can't hear anything, not even my own thoughts. Because let's face it, we do exactly that, don't we? You go, God, I love you so much. And then we'll come, like, at least with worship, it doesn't even let my own thoughts come through. Like, sing and worship God. Like, just sing it out. And now, I'm not the best singer in the world. Thank God the Bible tells me that when I do sing and praise God, it sounds like a sweet aroma to Him and a nice, yeah, all that kind of stuff. So I can't sing, but, you know. But what it does when you start to sing is you start to realize the words in the song. And you start to claim them as you sing. And if you sing it with true worship in your heart, coming out of that place, not just singing it because it's on, but singing it out of your heart, then it does something. You know, do you know this song? When peace like a river... Can you sing it with me? Attendeth my way. When sorrows and... I can't sing. Sea billows roll... I really needed someone else to do this bit for me. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say. What is it?
It is well
with my soul. Do you know what? That's a declaration of a promise found in Scripture. When sea billows drop, when everything's coming against me, when I've lost everything, I can still say it is well I'm already starting to feel better just by doing that little bit, and I can't even sing. You know, what about that song, you know, I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah in everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah and watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear has lost its hold. That's a declaration. It's a promise found in Scripture that someone's put to music, and it's there, and we can claim it. What a friend we have in Jesus. Come on, sing it. What a privilege to carry everything. It's a promise in Scripture that we can go to God whenever we want and bring everything that we're concerned about to Him, knowing that He is the one who can do all things. Like, these are promises in Scriptures. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, this is who you are. We're going to sing that song a little bit later. We need to start claiming some of the things we're singing. But what we do when we start to sing, we shift our perspective from what's happening around us to who our God is. When we sing, chains are broken. When we sing, we're starting to, like, demons just flee and walls come tumbling down and victories start to happen because we're starting to focus not on what's happening around us but on the God of and who He is and what He can do. So very practically, when you get to that place where you need something to do because you know you've lost your perspective, and let's face it, I do that at least 40 times a day, lose perspective. Come on, we're human. God's still working on me. I'm jacked up. You know, it's what it is. We need to sing. Refocus. Sing. It turns our perspective back to who our God is. Yes? Yeah. All right, number two. Very practically, you need to start counting. I've made these really simple for you today. And these are things that we do. Start counting the blessings that God has given you. Start counting the things He's done for you. Because when the enemy comes, and the enemy will come in this war, if we want to have victory, if we want to win the battle, we need to sing, keep a right perspective that way. But we need to start thanking Him too. That shifts our perspective back as well. And you might be in a situation where, you know, everything is kind of caved in and you go, well, Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand the things that I've had, like I've journeyed through. You don't understand what I'm feeling. I do. I might not have experienced the same thing you have, but I certainly do know what it's like when the world collapses in. When the darkness feels like it's going to overtake. When we feel like we're struggling and we're just kind of just going away. But here's the thing. In the past, God has got you through every single thing you've ever faced. And I know that, and I know He's done it with 100% success rate, because you're still here. You're still here. Turn to someone and say, you're still here. You're still here. Turn to the person on the other side and say, you're still here. When the enemy comes, we need to start counting the blessings. And do you know what? Do you know what? It might have to be when you start, because let's face it, when you're in the middle of a forest, you can't even see the trees, you know, like we get to that place where we can't. You might have to start with, you know what, God, thank you, God, you woke me up this morning. I am still here. You woke me up this morning. I still got breath in my lungs and I can breathe and I can experience another day on this planet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, I have something to eat today. It might be only one can of baked beans in my cupboard, but I've got something, and I know you provide it, so God, you're good. God, thank you, Jesus, I have health. I can walk around. I can move. I was sick last week, but today I'm feeling much better. Like, thank you, Jesus, you're a healing God. Thank you, Jesus, I have friends, and I have family, and I have people around me who know me and can care for me and I can talk to. We might need to start with some of the simpler things that we take for granted. Because let's face it, and let's just deal with the first one, breath in our lungs. If God wanted to, suck the air out, we're dead. Right here. He's that powerful. And yet we still got breath. So every breath. And so we might have to start at a place that goes, you know, God, thank you for the breath. Thank you for this breath. And we might just have to breathe each situation at once at a time and just start to think about it. And we do that. We start to see some of the other things He's done before us. And we get to a place then of going, you know what, God, I've struggled through this, but this situation's coming up, and I know you can do all things because you did those things for me before in the past, and because you've done those things in the past, I know you're going to do it again, and because you're going to do it again, I'm just grateful because I know I've got victory here. Shifts perspective from what we're dealing with on earth to to who our God is. By remembering what he's done, we need to start counting. So what do we need to do first? Sing. What do we need to do next? Count. Third one. Here we go. You ready for this? Here we go. Find a 3 a.m. buddy. There's a number of yous who are thinking differently than you probably should, but that's okay. We're all human and God's working on all of us. You know, a few years ago, let me tell you this story. A few years ago, it was about 2 days before Easter. We were in Kalgoorlie ministering up there. We were running two mainly music programs on a Thursday, so Zoe had to look after those two mainly music on Thursday. But on the Wednesday, the day before, our son landed in hospital. He had an infection. His knee blew out with a big golf ball or two. What was it? Arthritis? I don't know, something. He was in hospital. He was in hospital. Just don't mess with my story, all right? It's still true. He was in hospital. He was in hospital, and so for Easter, it's a big deal. Like, we had too many music programs running. We had a Good Friday service to do. We had an Easter Sunday service to do. We hadn't planned a lot of it out at that point. Zoe and I like to do things at the very last minute. It's just who we are. Mainly music. So we couldn't even set up the displays and stuff. So and then our son lands in hospital, right? And I remember spending the first night there because Zoe had to go back and, you know, work out the Bailey Music stuff, and at that time we used to stack all the chairs up on each side of the hall and use the main hall because that was what we had. And so Zoe's done that. I spent the night at the hospital with Jacob because he was quite young at that point, and then Zoe kind of came and changed over. Actually, I think it was my father-in-law changed over. We got them to come up and help us out at the same time. But at about 9 o'clock at night on Thursday night, I remembered we hadn't set up the church yet. Because we hadn't had time. So the church wasn't set up for Friday. And it was a mess, actually. I remember vacuuming. But what did I do? I called a friend. I called a buddy. And he is my 3 a.m. buddy. Like, if I said to him, hey, dude, I need you here in 8 hours, he'll be here in 8 hours, no questions asked. And so I called him up and I said, hey, mate, can you come down and give me a hand? This is 9 o'clock at night on Thursday night before a long weekend of Easter. 9 o'clock. At night. Can you come down and bring your jigsaw with you? Okay, he says. Jumps in the car, comes down. He even bought me dinner on the way in, which was really nice of him. So we just started cleaning, setting up, putting the displays in place. We were there for a number of hours doing this. We were painting things and getting displays. It was great. But here's the point, right? He was a 3 a.m. buddy. I could ring him at 3 a.m. in the morning and say, I need you, and he'll come, no questions asked. You see, whenever we are facing a battle and the enemy comes along, his main objective is to kind of get you out of the group, to kind of peel you off. And it's true, whenever we're facing stuff, the first thing we want to do is run and hide. Actually, what we need to do is reach out and connect with someone. And I call it a 3 a.m. buddy because at 3 a.m. in the morning, if I need help, if I need someone to talk to, if I'm struggling with something, if the enemy has got me to a place where I'm on my knees and I don't know what to do and all hell is breaking loose around me, I can call him and I know he will pick up. And he could call me and he knows I will pick up. We need to stay connected to someone. We need to stay connected to the church, but we need to stay connected to someone. Because we all need help at times. We all need things because a battle is not won by an individual. A battle is won with an army. You got it? Not by an individual, by an army. And so we need people around us to help us. There's this really cool story. You can look at it later. It's in Exodus chapter 17, right? And this story of how Moses is on the mountaintop and Joshua had the forces and they were battling the Amalekites in the valley. And so there's this war, this battle is going on. And so Moses is on the hill. And when Moses' arms are raised, Joshua and his forces win the battle. The minute he drops his arms, they start to lose. And the battle was taking longer than expected, and Moses' arms were getting tired. We've been in places where we've got spiritually tired. But what does the scripture say that he did? He had Aaron and a person named Hur, H-U-R, come along, one on each side, and hold his arms up. You know, there are times when we can't hold ourselves up, but we need friends to hold us up. You know, sometimes a good chat with someone who is a Christian, who knows some stuff, who can help you get a bit of perspective back on who our God is needed. Make sense? Sing. What do you do next? Count. Find a 3M buddy. I'm going to get Christy to come along and start playing for me because I'm going to keep going if she doesn't, and I want to save a bit for next week. You've got to come back next week. Next week's going to be awesome. I'm going to talk about stepping into purpose. If you want to do some pre-reading, you can pre-read 2 Kings chapter 6 onwards, and you'll kind of read the next part of where we're going to go. But here's the thing, S-Fam, here's the thing. A number of us are in battles. A number of us are facing the enemy. If the enemy's not attacking you, then you're not a threat for the enemy. If he's attacking you, then you're scaring him. Because he wants to shake you down, he wants to get rid of you, and he wants to push you aside. The enemy will attack. Jesus told us, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus promises trouble. But here's the thing, in any situation, we can have the victory, we can win the battle, if we keep the right heavenly perspective on who our God is. It's not going to be easy. Not going to be easy, but we can do it. That's why Elisha prays, not to get rid of the army, not to smoke them out, not to kill them all. He prays, hey, let my servants see who you really are. It's about shifting, and we need to, as a church, shift and claim that for ourselves. We need to claim, we can have victory in this. Heavenly perspective, because that God can do it. Whatever we're facing, whatever the battle, God can do it. Whatever the enemy comes at, God can do it. Why? Because he's a way maker. Because he's a promise keeper. He's a miracle worker. Our God can do anything. But we don't claim that. We don't really think that sometimes, do we? Let's be honest. We get to a place where we go, oh, this battle is happening. We don't actually think God can. We pray the prayer, like, God, can you help us out? Can you smoke them out? Get rid of that. But do we really claim that and believe it? Like, I believe God wants us to step in to all he has for us. And it starts with having a right perspective, a heavenly perspective, knowing who our God is. And so we're going to sing. He's a way maker, a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. And what I want you to do, if you're declaring that today, if you're declaring that he is all that, maybe you're going through a struggle, through a battle, it doesn't matter. You can stand up where you're at and declare it. After we finish this song, we're going to stay in and pray for people. Zoe's going to stay in. I'm going to stay in. I might get Ken to stay in. I might get Kay to stay in as well. And we're going to stay in. We're just going to pray for people. We're going to cut the stream off. Sorry, guys. We're going to pray in-house today. So we're going to sing this song, and then we'll send them, and we're going to stay and pray for people. We're just going to pray. So if you want prayer for anything, today's the day when you come down and say, yeah, God, I want to claim this today. This is the promise found in Scripture. I want to claim this today. Make sense? Let's, if you want to declare it, you stand. We're going to sing, and then we're going to pray for people. A number of us will stay. If you don't want prayer, you can go out and have coffee and stuff afterwards. We're going to pray. If you're online and you want prayer, you just send us a private message. We will pray back the other way for you and pray for you as well. But if you're in the room, we're going to invite you to come up for prayer. As I said, there's going to be a number of us up the front just praying for people because we believe that God can do it. And we can win the battle. But it's got to start with perspective. Let's sing this song.